There's a great quote by Rosalind Carter about caregiving. She says, there are only four kinds of people in the world. Those who have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need a caregiver. Right? At some point, we're all called to care for someone. And while this was just a single quote pulled out of all the rest of the context, the quote doesn't capture, right? As many of you know, there are people who are really good at caring. Like there's a gift set in caring and compassion. Some of you probably know if it sensed that in yourself. I have this sense of compassion. I'm good at caring for people. And it doesn't capture that there are some of us here today who just don't necessarily have that gift set of caring and compassion. We don't have to raise hands, and it's okay, right? God creates us all differently. And what we can't necessarily see in the quote is that for those of you that are really good at caring and compassion, you know what that compassion can do to you, right? It can just sap your energy as you're caring for somebody else and you're caring for other people, and you find yourself always caring for other people, and sometimes you just find yourself empty. Find it hard to keep caring like that. And others of us can attest that aren't necessarily, we're not gifted in that way with compassion and that gift of caring, but we find ourselves in a place where we need to care. Or maybe you've had that person, you know they love you, but caring and compassion isn't their gift, and it just caring can be really hard. Compassion has a cost. We're called to it. We're all called to it, whether we have the gift of caring and compassion or not, right? We're called to create a community of care. The church is called to be the arms and legs of Jesus reaching out into the world. We're all called to it. But compassion has a cost. In fact, it's actually built into the word. Compassion. Come meaning with. Passion, which means to suffer. Compassion literally means to suffer with. And we'll talk more about this in a moment, but some of you are caring for kids, and some of you are caring for parents or spouses, or some of you remember times when you've been caring. As Rosalind Carter says, we're all in those experiences at some point in time. And you know, when you love somebody and when you want the best for them, right? When you're caring for them. Or when you meet somebody that doesn't know God's love or the love of Jesus, when they don't have that kind of community, and you want to be that kind of community and that care for them, then when they hurt, you hurt. When they suffer, you suffer too. Paul models this, right, in his letter to the church in Corinthians. And he says these wonderful words. He says, so I will very gladly spend for you everything I have, and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? We should all have somebody that we care about this much that we're willing to pour our lives into. Whether it's somebody in our family or our friends. Whether it's looking out in the community and seeing that there aren't people that have this kind of love, right? Paul is modeling for the church in Corinth. This is the kind of love that we're supposed to demonstrate, the kind of care that we're supposed to demonstrate. But even Paul knew, right? Maybe especially Paul knew the cost. And some of us know that cost as well, right? Some of you are here today, you're caring for spouses or parents. Or maybe you've seen the writing on the wall and you know that those kind of difficult decisions of caring for parents is coming soon, that where they're going to need more care. And the decisions are difficult, right? And we sense the pain and the loss of freedom and what it can be like to have chronic pain and to try and love somebody through the midst of that, right? We feel that pain. Or maybe you're in that place where you know you have to make decisions, or decisions are coming about what to do around end-of-life issues or about caring for your elders, and there's just suddenly relationships have been really good. There's tension, and it can be hard. Some of us are here today, and we've tried to set out a great path for our kids, but they haven't necessarily made the decisions that we'd hope they make. Or maybe it's not even about their decisions. Maybe they've just hit those bumps of life that we wanted to protect them from as long as we could, but they've hit those spots in life where hearts get broken. We find ourselves suffering with them. Or sometimes we find ourselves just not sure even how to care for them. Some of us are involved in caring for friends or family, and we're not sure how. Like, we're not sure what to do. They seem to not want our care. They seem to not appreciate it, even though we're putting in all kinds of hours and help, and we're not sure how to keep doing it. But we love them, and so we're trying to figure out how. Some of us have a heart to care for our community, and we volunteer in different ways. And if you've done this, you know that sometimes you volunteer and you put yourself out there, and sometimes things work out and sometimes they don't. Sometimes we find ourselves in these valleys and we're just like, is what I'm doing even making a difference? Can the world really be changed? And some of us are in caring professions, right? Where we care for people every day. And over time, that can wear as we bring home the pain of our patients or customers, or we have patients or customers that, again, don't seem to want our care or aren't appreciative of it. And compassion, it has a cost. And it's good to know we're not alone in this, right? Paul, in all of his love for the church in Corinth, he shows us that he gets that. He understands where we are coming from today. He understands how hard it can be to care. He says this to the church. He says, "For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." And then he says this, says, "I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged." And Paul, he lays out all this in the letter, and he says, "Look, I love you all, and I love this church, but I know it's going to cost me some grief. It's already caused me some grief, and I'm afraid when I come again, there's going to be grief in this." So we can ask with Paul. We can ask with Paul, so how do we care? How do we keep on caring? Right? We don't want to give up on our kids. We don't want to give up on our parents. How do we keep caring when we hit that point where the wall seems too great and we're not sure we have the energy to go on? How do we care for those that we just know need God's love to break through into their lives, but it hasn't seemed to be working, but we know we need to keep at it? How do we care? If we take a little bit deeper look at Paul, we might find some clues for us in the church today. Because Paul writes this, sort of setting up this chapter. He says, "But he, the Lord, said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" When I am weak, then I am strong. Paul speaks in these ways all the time, and you're like, wait, how can you be strong when you're weak? What Paul's saying is, when I'm weak, when I'm at my weakest, that's when I lean into Jesus and I find the strength that I need to go on. That's when I'm strongest. Because when I'm weak, I let God into my life and I let God do what God wants to do. When I admit that I can't do it by myself and I let Christ in, that's when I am at my strongest. Paul says in this letter, essentially, it's okay to admit that you can't do it by yourself. In fact, it might be beneficial to admit that you can't do it by yourself, because when you finally are ready to give up control and thinking you can be perfect and thinking it's all going to work out like you want it to, then finally you'll put your life into God's hands and trust God. When you're most humble, you're most aware of your need for God. In some ways, Paul reminds us that we're called to be servants, not saviors. Jesus is our Savior. Well, let me say that again, because I think, as a pastor, I know I feel this. Anybody who has the gift of caring compassion, you feel this. When you see somebody hurting, you want to save them, right? And there isn't anything wrong with wanting the best for other people. That's right. But the truth is, we're servants, not saviors. Jesus is our Savior. Do you know when you get on the airplane and they start the safety instructions? How many people just tune out the safety instructions now, right? We don't need to listen to that. We know it. Or we don't need to listen to that because I don't ever want to be in that situation anyway, right? But there's something that's said in those instructions that if we heard a bit differently, I wonder if it can't speak into the cost of compassion and caring today, which is this, right? One of the things that they'll say is, if in case of an emergency, there's a lack of air in the cabin, the oxygen masks will come down, right? And what do they say when they talk about the oxygen masks coming down? What are you supposed to do first? Yeah, right. You're supposed to put on your own oxygen mask. Why? Well, I like this, because you can't help anyone if you're dead. But what if we think about that from the experience of our faith? Right, we can't help anyone else if we don't have a sense of God's presence and Jesus' presence in our own life, a sense of the Holy Spirit moving in our own lives. You can't take care of somebody else if you don't have anything left to give. You can't take care of anyone else if you don't know God's comfort and care in your own life. I remember a conversation about a year ago with a member of our congregation whose husband's health had been declining pretty rapidly, and she was supposed to go out east. Actually, they were both supposed to go out east, but her family had said to her, why don't you go ahead and come out east and leave him in capable hands to care for him and come visit. And she was sharing it with me, and just you could sense the pain. Like, she sort of knew that she needed some time with family and she needed to get away, but she couldn't leave him. Like, what if something happened while she was gone, and was it right to leave him for a few days? And I remember in that conversation, because Pastor Cindy was still on our staff team at the time, and she looked right at her, and Pastor Cindy had been through caring for a loved one as she lost her husband to cancer. And she looked right at her, and for those of you who know that Pastor Cindy, it was kind of in that stern, I'm telling you what I know way, with that sense that I'm telling you this because I care for you and I want you to know it. And she said, you need to go. You've got to go and refuel. Because if you don't have the energy and the sense of passion and love, you won't be able to care for him. So go and renew. And then she went on and she said to him, you can know that he's in good hands, right? The church family is here. We'll be here for him. You have friends that are going to be there. They've already said they'll help take care of him. You need to go and take care of yourself. Which leads us to something else that Paul says. It's something that's sort of in 2 Corinthians, it's subtle. If you're reading just for what Paul says, you'd miss this point. But if you're watching what Paul does, Paul says this. He says to them, I urge Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not walk in the same footsteps by the same Spirit? Or if we're paying attention, we realize that Paul, right, he's been hurt. The cost of compassion is weighing on him. And what does he do? He turns into the church community, says, look, I need help. I'm going to send Titus and somebody else while I don't have the energy or the ability to do this without being angry. While I can't do this, I'm going to send somebody else to help and care for this church. And then when there's space, I'll be able to go back again. He widens the circle of care. Sometimes we have to ask for help. And I don't know why. Maybe I should know why, because it's not easy for me to do either. I don't know why that sometimes Sometimes when we're struggling, it's just hard to admit it. It's hard to say, look, I can't do this. Maybe it's a sense of obligation to the loved one that we're caring for. I don't know, but sometimes it's hard. And I stand before you today on behalf of Clay Church and say, as a church, I would love for us to know all the needs out there and meet them before you had to ask. But the reality is, and there are a lot of factors in this, sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's hesitation, sometimes it's just busyness of the body as a whole. Sometimes we don't get right out and respond to the needs, or we don't know the needs. And so what I would say as a community, let's make a commitment together to ask. Don't hesitate to ask when you're overwhelmed, because I know I can say this on behalf of all of us. We as a church community, we want to be there for each other. We want to be there for you. Sometimes it just takes a nudge. Sometimes you just have to ask. And when you do, let's as a community rally around those that need us. People will sometimes ask me, do I have to be in a Clay circle? You know, we launched circles a little over almost a year and a half ago now. And people say, do I have to be in a Clay circle? And the honest answer is no. Somebody over there, stop Ashley, our circles director, if she's coming up to tackle me as I say that. The honest answer is no, you do not have to be in a circle to be a part of the larger congregation and or to be cared for or to do anything and be involved in any way. Even as I say that, I would also say this. We began this ministry of Clay Circles because it's built on a model that the early church realized would help them care for each other and for the community. They realized the 12 apostles couldn't care for everybody. It just was not at all possible. And so they formed these circle groups of people who learned together and studied together and prayed together and got to know each other's needs so that when there was a need, they could turn to this smaller circle of people and know that they would be there for them. That's our prayer. That's why we encourage people to be part of Clay Circles, because we want that for everybody, for you to have this kind of community that knows you and knows your family and knows your needs. And I'm heartened. I love the several stories that have come out already about people in circles that have said, you know what, I lost a loved one, or we had this emergency or crisis and we called our circle and they were there. And I anticipate we'll hear more and more of those stories. Right, part of belonging in community is knowing that it's okay to ask for help and hearing God's call to be part of the caring community. I think of it this way. If Clay Circles are at their fullest potential, I mean, picture them either like the delivery mechanism for the oxygen mask, right? This idea that when you're struggling, your circle will bring you the space you need to reconnect with God and put on your own oxygen mask. Or you could even think about it like that, you know, that adjustable rubber band in the back. Your circle is going to hold God's love close to you. Keep you connected to Jesus and the love of Jesus when you need it. When Paul begins this letter, you might remember, and we've been kind of coming back to this all month, he says over and over again, comfort, 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 comfort. He wants to build a caring community in the church of Corinth so that they can be a comfort to one another. And then he says something in that first chapter that he comes back to as he's getting ready to close in chapter 12. He says in the first chapter, look, essentially, you are going to be able to comfort others because of God's comfort for you. I think Aaron said it this way. When you've experienced this comfort that comes from God, you're called to give it away, to share it with somebody else. Well, Paul now writes at the end of this letter, to 2 Corinthians 12:19. He says, have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. In Christ. We do all of this in Christ. Paul says, because I know Jesus, it doesn't matter that I've been hurt. It doesn't matter that you don't seem to be listening to my words. I am all in to keep caring for you. It's that comfort of Jesus that's where my strength comes from. Right? How do we keep caring? when it's difficult, when our tanks are empty? How do we do it? We keep loving and caring and comforting despite the cost of compassion, because we find our strength in the love of Jesus. That doesn't mean that we don't set boundaries. It's important to have boundaries. Paul sets some boundaries. It doesn't mean we can do it alone. Often we have to ask for help, and we've got to engage the community in that care together. But we do that. We don't give up. We keep offering the care of Jesus, because we recognize in the life of Jesus, God understands. God knows the cost of compassion. Right? God knows, because God experienced it. Look what compassion and love did to Jesus. They took him to the cross. And it's in the shadow of that cross that we know a God who understands the challenges that we face and calls us to care like we cared, to care like he cared. It's in the shadow of that cross that we recognize that the sacrifice we make offers the kind of love and compassion that knows no bounds. It's in the cross that points to the resurrection, where we know that even as God understands, God delivers. That compassion and love that we offer, even when we can't see it, it leads to a love and a salvation that not even death can overcome. So when caring for others seems overwhelming, when life feels like I just don't know how I can keep caring for this loved one, when it feels like the cost of compassion is outweighing the sense that you're even making a difference, it's in those moments that 2 Corinthians reminds us, turn to the compassion of Jesus and hang on to it. Reach into the church of Jesus and ask for the help that you need to keep caring. Let God comfort you with the promise of the resurrection of Jesus, so that you can be part of a community of care. Let the church help you put your oxygen mask back on and sense the Holy Spirit breathing back into your life. Be kind to yourself. And then take that oxygen mask and share it with somebody else who needs to know the love of Jesus.